Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
I am Tom, and today we're talking about crossword puzzles.
Uh-huh.
Crossword puzzles. I don't know if they have them in Chinese or not. I think I've seen them, but they're very different. But crossword puzzles, of course, are very popular in the English-speaking world. And it kind of tests your knowledge on various subjects.
Uh-huh.
And if you can fill out a crossword really fast, boy, are you one smart cookie.
Or you have a very good memory. That's also the case. But you have to have knowledge in lots of different areas, I found. Are you a fan of crossword puzzles?
Yes and no. I like to do them if they're easy enough.
Uh-huh.
But if they're really difficult, I really feel terrible. I really feel stupid because I can't even answer one clue. Some people can whip through them really fast, and I'm going, gee, I just don't know any of these. These are just all over my head. How about you? Are you a big crossword puzzle fanatic?
When I was in New York, I'd try to do Mondays and Tuesdays crossword puzzles in the Times. After that, they just got harder and harder. But I think it's good, and I've read studies where they feel like it helps you keep your brain active and smart as you get older if you keep doing crossword puzzles.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'd like to do more of them, actually.
Cool.
And actually cross-reference them after I'm done with them to see what I got right.
Cool.
And what I got wrong so I could learn something.
I do the ones on the airplanes that are in the magazines in the pocket of the seat in front of you.
I've also noticed that sometimes newspapers publish them all week long, and the ones that come out on Monday are the easiest.
No, those are the easy ones, yeah.
Right, and then as you progress through the week toward Friday and Saturday,
forget it.
They get progressively harder. So you could check that out and test your English skills.
Mm-hmm.
I would just suggest starting with the easy ones, though.
Yeah.
But let's get to it. Let's catch the crossword craze in today's lesson. Let's listen right now. Most people buy the newspaper to find out what's going on in the world. Yet for a few obsessed souls, only one thing near the back of the paper matters, the daily crossword puzzle. This addictive game of riddles provides a bit of fun while testing people's vocabulary and trivia knowledge simultaneously. Arthur Wynne, a British journalist, is credited as the originator of this clever puzzle. He was inspired by an ancient Roman game called Magic Squares and based his puzzle on it. Wynne's first crossword puzzle was published in a 1913 newspaper. Unlike modern crossword puzzles, it was in the shape of a diamond and didn't contain any black spaces. Wynne later realized there was room for improvement. Therefore, he modified his creation by switching to vertical and horizontal fields, which often intersected. Within a few years of its debut, other newspapers and magazines started publishing their own crossword puzzles. They caught on and became a big hit. By the 1930s, virtually every newspaper had a special column for them. Soon, books containing nothing but hundreds of crossword puzzles were published to satisfy avid fans. Although they may look simple, crossword puzzles can take hours or even days to solve. Readers must use the brief and perplexing clues given by the author to fit the correct words into blank spaces. Quite often, solvers will get caught up on a few difficult questions. Much of the appeal of crossword puzzles is that they provide a healthy dose of exercise for the mind. Fans will tell you that racking their brains to solve a complicated puzzle brings a great sense of accomplishment. On the flip side, tricky questions can sometimes bring hours of head-scratching frustration. Yet it is precisely this intriguing challenge that keeps bringing people back for more.
So let's talk about this crossword craze. A craze is a situation where a lot of people are really excited about something. Something's extremely popular. You can't get enough of it. A couple of months ago, Christmas time, I guess it was before Christmas, we had a new donut shop here in Taiwan open called Krispy Kreme Donuts. Wow.
Uh-huh.
There was a Krispy Kreme craze. People were standing in line for hours.
Well, if you're going back 10 years before that, there was a Mr. Donut craze.
Yeah.
When they first came to Taiwan, people were lining up outside them. But yes, now it's Krispy Kreme that is a craze, something that's really popular with the public.
Mm-hmm.
It's a trend. We could also call it that way. But a trend kind of lasts longer. A craze is kind of shorter and more intense.
Yeah, it's very intense. Well, most people buy the newspaper to find out what's going on. There's a lot of news in the newspaper, of course. But some people buy newspapers for other reasons. Some people like comics. Some people buy the newspaper to look smart. I know some people who carry around a newspaper just because they want to look like they're really informed.
An intellectual.
Yes. Well, some of these people who buy newspapers are obsessed souls. If you're obsessed with something, it means you think and talk about something all the time. You probably drive your family and friends crazy. When I was in high school, I have to admit, I was kind of obsessed with shoes.
Shoes, yeah, like Mini Manila, huh?
Oh, I was buying shoes all the time. It was terrible. So if you're obsessed, you really like something and think and talk about it too much. Some of these obsessed souls, only have one thing in the back of their minds as far as papers are concerned. They want that daily crossword puzzle. They don't care about the news. They just want that daily crossword puzzle. So we've talked about what a crossword puzzle is. It's a puzzle where there are words that are the answers to clues that are written into a pattern. You've got numbered squares that go across and down. It's kind of fun. I actually like to do crossword puzzles with friends. That's the most fun.
It does sound like it would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I've only done them by myself.
Uh-huh.
And yes, this kind of describes me. Sometimes I buy the newspaper, but I quickly skim over the headlines, and if I find something interesting, I'll read the article. But as soon as I come up to the crossword puzzle, I fold the newspaper back and get it all ready and sit there for about a half hour to an hour or whatever, trying to figure out the clues. And so this is a crossword puzzle.
Yeah.
If it's just a puzzle, that's when you have a bunch of pieces that are broken up and you try to put them together, a puzzle. My mother, for example, likes to do puzzles.
Really?
But this is a crossword puzzle, which could refer to all sorts of different kinds of games, different kinds of puzzles, but this is a crossword puzzle. And it's very addictive. If something's addictive, that means you really want to do it over and over.
Well, different things appeal to different people. This is addictive to some people because it's a game of riddles. A riddle is a difficult question that has either a surprising or funny answer to it. So it's a game of riddles and it provides a bit of fun. While it also tests your vocabulary and trivia knowledge simultaneously. A trivia is just pieces of information that you don't necessarily need to know. It's not going to make you more successful in life, I don't think. But it's fun if you're playing games. Simultaneous is when things happen at the same time. Simultaneously is the adverb form. So I could say, you know, when I watch the World Series, sometimes I am listening to the radio and TV broadcasts simultaneously. They're both on at the same time.
Yeah, my dad used to do that. He'd watch a baseball game on TV, but he would turn the sound off and listen to the radio instead because he said, well, they announce it better on the radio because they talk more about details and stuff like that. So that's pretty cool. I don't know if they do that anymore. But let's talk about the origin of crossword puzzles now. We have to go to England. Arthur Wynne, a British journalist, is credited as the originator of this clever puzzle. I just said England here. I could be wrong here. If you're talking about something British, you're probably talking about England, yes, but technically Scotland and Wales and Northern Ireland are part of the British Empire, the United Kingdom. But I think there's a good chance that he is English. He's a journalist, or at least he was, and that's basically the same thing as a reporter gathers information and writes articles for newspapers. And he's credited as the originator of this clever puzzle. If you're credited as something, that means people recognize you as having done something. So people recognize him as the creator, the originator of the crossword puzzle.
Yeah, a successful student who just graduated from university might credit his or her parents for their success, or perhaps a favorite teacher really helped them, so they will credit that teacher with their success. This guy is given recognition as being the one who came up with the idea of this puzzle, this crossword puzzle, and is clever, so it's kind of smart. He was inspired by an ancient Roman game called Magic Squares. So he knew a lot about ancient Roman history, so he is a smart guy. And if you base something on something else, you use that as an idea to come up with something else. His first crossword puzzle was published way back in 1913 in a newspaper.
Wow, that's a long time ago, so that's the first time one came out in a newspaper. And unlike modern crossword puzzles, it was in the shape of a diamond and didn't contain any black spaces. So unlike modern crossword puzzles, it wasn't like the crossword puzzles we see today, which are mostly square. Mm-hmm. This one was in the shape of a diamond, which if you play cards, that's one of the red suits. It's like a rectangle or a square turned on its side. That's what a diamond is. Or maybe they're referring to actually a diamond as in the rock that we buy for women when we marry them. But I think this one is referring to the sideways square, basically. Mm-hmm. And it did not contain any black spaces, which might be difficult to solve if you don't have those black spaces in there because you don't really know where the spaces are supposed to go.
I know.
But this was the prototype. This was the first one that came out. So he did a pretty good job on his first attempt.
Okay, guys, it's time now to listen to our Chinese teacher, and then we'll be back to talk more about how Arthur Wynn continued to develop the real today's example, of course, of a crossword puzzle.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 今天我们要看的呢是跟填字有关系的。那么在英文里面 ,the crossword 代表的呢就是填字的解谜游戏。首先来看到第一个空格这个句子提到 ,yet for a few obsessed souls, only one thing near the back of the paper blank one, the daily crossword puzzle. 很多人买报纸是看新闻，但是对于这些着迷的人来讲呢，只有一项，也就是靠近报纸最后一页的某样东西是怎么样的。以句子的结构来看，这里少了一个动词，所以我们在选字的时候呢，就要来找一个动词。而根据上下文意，其实看报纸不是为了新闻，最重要的呢是后面的填字游戏搭配文意。第一题我们可以选 K 选项的 matters 在这里当作动词，解释成为这个东西才算数，才是重要的。下一个句子提到 This addictive game of riddles provides a bit of fun while blank to people's vocabulary and trivial knowledge simultaneously。其实呢，填字游戏就是能够在提供一些乐趣的同时，也可以怎么样人们的单字能力跟一些你对于琐事的知识咯。第二题，我们在这里呢，在 while 后面没有主词，所以我们要搭配就是动名词。在填字游戏，当然就是要测试你的词汇能力跟对一些常识的知识理解咯。所以第二题搭配文意，我们当然就选 C, testing.
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, let's continue to talk about crossword puzzles. And when later realized there was room for improvement. If there's room for improvement, that means something should be improved. There are things you could do. I've recently modernized my house. I've kind of remodeled it, but cool. There's still room for improvement. I could still do some more things to make it better.
We actually use that phrase a lot, don't we? Almost no one on this planet is perfect in anything. There's always room for improvement in the things that we pursue. Well, he thought, I can make this better. So he modified his creation by switching to vertical and horizontal fields, which often intersected. Let's take a look at these words. If you modify something, that's a verb, and it means you change some parts of something while leaving other parts alone. So you don't change everything, you just change a few of the parts. For example, I like to cook, so I might modify a recipe I have by using oil instead of butter. So I switch those two parts, I modify it a little bit. He wanted to switch to vertical and horizontal fields. If you switch, you change or replace something with something else. For example, sometimes students will switch seats. They'll change seats. They'll trade seats. Well, he wanted to switch or use something different. Vertical and horizontal, they're very similar. They both are words that talk about the position of something. If you're vertical, imagine someone standing up straight. So if you're standing up, you are vertical. If you're lying down, you are horizontal.
Exactly. So we oftentimes talk about vertical degrees at a ski resort, for example, but they don't really ski here in Taiwan, so I won't talk about that too much. But again, vertical just means up and down, and horizontal means left and right. So I'm kind of trying to imagine what the original crossword looked like if it didn't have those things. But in any case, these are the improvements or the modifications he made. And within a few years of its debut, other newspapers and magazines started publishing their own crossword puzzles. So indeed, those fields of words intersected, they crossed over each other, and then this started to be published all over the world. And they thought, well, his crossword puzzle is nice, but we can hire our own writers to come up with our own ideas. So newspapers all around the world started publishing their own crossword puzzles.
When you talk about the debut of something, notice this is a strange word because we're using the French pronunciation. So if you look at this word, it's not debut. That's what it looks like. Debut. It's debut. It's the first time someone like an actor or a musician or an athlete or anything goes public for the first time. It's the first time the public sees them. So within a few years of it going public, letting other people see it, like Tom said, other newspapers and magazines thought, hey, this is cool. We need our own. So these crossword puzzles caught on. If something catches on, caught on is the past tense form. It just means they become popular. Sometimes new trends or new fads, when they first come out, they're not that popular, but then it catches on. And more people go, ooh, this is cool. And then it becomes a craze.
Exactly. For example, I could say that a lot of inventions from Apple Computer caught on, you know, the PowerBook and the iPhone and the iPod. Of course, Apple is famous for having lots of ideas that did not catch on, that failed miserably. But, of course, some of their ideas caught on, they became popular, and now they're here to stay. And so, yes, crossword puzzles caught on. People learned about them and liked them, and they became a big hit, something really popular. And by the 1930s, or when it was the 1930s, virtually every newspaper had a special column for them. So if you talk about virtually here is the adverb form. It just means nearly or almost. Virtually every newspaper, almost every newspaper, had a special column for these puzzles.
Usually when we use this word column, we're talking about just one section of a page, right? You might have two columns on a page or three columns. Here it's very special because we're talking about a column in a newspaper, which means an article in a newspaper or magazine that appears regularly, maybe every week, maybe every day, and it's written by a particular writer or someone who's assigned that particular topic, and it deals with a subject. So every newspaper had a special column, or they had a crossword puzzle published every week, every day, depending on the newspaper. Soon, books containing nothing but hundreds of crossword puzzles were published to satisfy avid fans. If you're an avid fan, you're really, really excited about something. I could say I'm an avid baseball fan. Tom's an avid hockey fan, avid soccer fan. Something that you really are enthusiastic about.
Indeed. So we had these avid fans of crossword puzzles, and they couldn't wait for the newspaper to come out every day. They could buy these books that contained hundreds of crossword puzzles, and they were published to satisfy those crazed fans. And it continues here into the next paragraph. Although they may look simple, crossword puzzles can take hours or even days to solve. So it looks simple, Oh, it's just a bunch of blank spaces with black dots or black spaces in there, and all you got to do is fill in the words, read the clues. But, hey, sometimes, yeah, they can take you just a few minutes if they're real easy, but some of the more challenging ones, the more difficult ones, can take hours. It can take several hours or maybe even days to solve them, maybe even months or years or decades or even centuries.
Readers have to use the very short or brief and perplexing clues given by the author to fit the correct words into blank spaces. If something's perplexing, it's kind of confusing. It's difficult to understand. So sometimes you'll read those clues and you'll think, what? That's when friends come handy, because maybe they've got an idea that you don't. Quite often, people who do these crossword puzzles, who are called solvers, will get caught up on a few difficult questions and can't move on. They get stuck. Much of the appeal or the attraction of crossword puzzles is that they provide a healthy dose of exercise for the mind. I mentioned this at the start of the program. They're recommended for elderly people to do, so they keep their minds active.
Cool.
A dose of something is just an amount of something that a person experiences. It could be an amount of medicine, a dose of medicine, or maybe you need a dose of reality or a dose of hard work.
Indeed, a certain quantity of something. Uh-huh. You could use a dose of exercise for the mind or a dose of exercise for your body. These are brain teasers. They're good puzzles to keep your mind active. And fans will tell you that racking their brains to solve a complicated puzzle brings a great sense of accomplishment.
Yeah.
If you have to think really hard about something and try to solve it and really concentrate on that thing, you are racking your brain or racking your brains, which is interesting because sometimes we say, use your brains. Hey, I only have one brain. How can I use my brains? But that's just referring to the different ways in which we think about things. So, yeah, use your brain or use your brains, you could also say, or rack your brains.
Yeah, you could say I've been racking my brain for hours, but I can't remember his name. Sometimes you just can't remember. So we do use this phrase a lot. You should become familiar with it. Thinking really, really hard means you're racking your brain to do something. Now, an accomplishment is something we all want, so that's a good thing. But on the flip side means the bad or unpleasant part or result of something. The good part is actually getting that sense of accomplishment. What's the bad thing? Tricky questions can sometimes bring hours of head-scratching frustration. If you're scratching your head, you're puzzled, you're confused. But it's precisely this intriguing challenge that keeps bringing people back for more. If something's intriguing, it's really interesting, it's fascinating, and it keeps you occupied. That's not a bad thing at all.
It isn't, right. So head scratching, you just can't figure it out. And it's an intriguing challenge, something that keeps you coming back for more. That's what intriguing means, something that keeps you interested, mm-hmm. although you can't really figure out what it is. And hopefully our lesson is very intriguing and you'll keep tuning in to us. And in case you didn't quite understand anything in our explanation, our Chinese teacher will take care of that for you right now.
发明这个填字游戏的人呢，刚开始并不是这么样子的受欢迎，所以在第三个空格就提到 when later realized there was room for blank three。那么在英文里面，我们说到还有改善的空间，就可以说 there is room for improvement。在这里第三题，我们答案就选一 ，improvement 代表着就是改善、改进的意思。Therefore, he modified his creation by blank four to vertical and horizontal fields, which often intersected. 那么他就只好改良他的原本的填字游戏，借由怎么样的方式呢？也就是把原本菱形的这个形状改为呢是直的以及呢横的互相交叉的纵横方格。在第四题，我们答案可以选 B 选项的 switching to， 也就是转换成为怎么样的模式。第五个空格 ，soon books containing nothing but hundreds of crossword puzzles were published to blank five avid fans。 那么的受欢迎，所以就开始有很多的书，里面呢全部都是填字游戏，就为了要怎么样呢？为了要满足这些热情的填字迷，所以第五题我们就挑选 A 选项，原形动词 satisfy 解释成为使这些人满足满意。下一个句子， Although they may look blank six, crossword puzzles can take hours or even days to solve. 虽然这些填字游戏看起来怎么样，事实上有时候可能要花上好几个小时，甚至好几天才能够解出答案。所以搭配文意，第六题答案就选 J, simple.Readers must use the brief and perplexing clues given by the author to blank seven, the correct words into blank spaces. 当然我们要根据所提供的一些线索呢，然后把正确的字填入空格当中。在这里搭配 into 介系词，第七个我们可以选 I 选项的 fit， 也就是把它填入适当的空格当中。第八个空格的句子提到 Much of the blank aid of crossword puzzles is that they provide a healthy dose of exercise for the mind. 事实上填字游戏很多的怎么样，就在于他们提供你这种脑力的运动跟游戏咯。第八题我们需要的是一个名词，我们可以选择 F 选项的 appeal， 指的呢就是吸引力。 Fans will tell you that racking their brains to solve a blank nine puzzle brings a great sense of accomplishment。 当然了，填字游戏最大的成就感就是在脑力的激荡之下，你可以解决一个怎么样的谜呢？那么第九题根据文意，我们可以选 G 选项的 complicated， 当你把复杂的字谜解开，当然就带来很大的成就感咯。最后一个句子， On the flip side, tricky questions can sometimes bring hours of head scratching blank time。 当然解出了这些复杂的问题会带来很大的成就感，但是另外一方面呢，棘手的问题也是呢会让你绞尽脑汁好几个小时，这时候带来的就只有什么呢？第十格我们可以选 L 选项的 frustration， 解释成为挫折感。
We're out of time, guys. Thanks for joining us here at English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
I'm Tom. Goodbye.
Bye.